Welcome to the Midwest Cover Crops Council podcast, Our Cover Crops for You. This will be a series of short interviews with farmers and specialists about solving problems on the farm and how cover crops can be part of the solution. I'm your host, Anna Morrow, and today I was able to interview Alan Sundermeyer, an extension educator with the Ohio State University Extension. Today, Alan talks with us about how cover crops can help manage heavy, wet clay soils and help to reduce compaction. Alan's farmers have experienced much more mellow soil in the spring after using a cover crop on some of these heavy compacted soils. Alan, can you tell us some of the challenges that you're seeing in Ohio?
So Ohio, you know, has some more unique soils, I think, in the Midwest. The Northwest area of Ohio, lake bed soils, have some challenges. You know, we have a heavy clay, we have a zero slope. So the challenge, especially as you go into more no-till systems, why would you want to add a cover crop to an already cold, wet soil, which you're trying to dry out and get your crop planted into?
That's a great question. Why would I?
Well, the living, growing cover crop has the benefit of helping to dry that soil, which may seem counterintuitive. You know, why would I want to add more growth to, more residue to it? But that stimulates the microbial activity in the soil by having that residue there, having the right kind of residue. We want to have living, growing residue. So, you know, some are afraid of it, so we can still recommend cover crop mixes that all winter kill, and you go into the spring, you know, with not that growing material there. But I think the advantage in these heavy clay soils is to have a growing crop in the springtime. So that means, what do I do with that crop? I don't want it living. I want my corn or soybeans to grow in it, not a cover crop, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to look at, when does the management start taking place in the spring? Again, it kind of depends. That's the standard extension answer, right?
Right.
So if you have an aggressive cover crop in the spring, maybe like annual ryegrass, and you look at your weather pattern, you look at the time of year, you look at how long until I plant my corn crop, for instance, and you start just making some decisions. You know, are you at the early part of April with a cold, wet spring on you? Can you let that rye cover crop grow more to help dry the soil out and wait a little bit? Or are you looking at maybe an earlier corn planting season with drier soils that maybe towards the end of March, you may need to start using your herbicide application on your annual ryegrass to get that ahead of the corn planting season?
Sure.
So usually we recommend, you know, several weeks at least before normal corn planting to start looking at your herbicide control on annual ryegrass. Mm-hmm. It takes a while. It's a little cooler temperatures. Herbicides don't work as quickly. And if you want that ryegrass killed down before you plant your corn, you've got to time it. On the other aspect, you may be looking at something like a crimson clover, a Austrian winter pea, or some kind of other mix that has a legume that you could go ahead and let grow as long as possible before you plant your corn. They add nitrogen in the spring. They add a lot of good benefits there, so there's no reason to kill that off early. Mm-hmm. And those are easier to control, like with a 2,4-D or broadleaf type of herbicide. So some farmers plant green right into some of these legumes, and at planting time or a day or so after, come in with your herbicide burn down and control your cover crop after planting.
Sure.
So you look at the type of cover crop, the characteristic of that, the easiness or difficulty to control it with herbicides. You look at your weather. You just have to look at all these situations. It's not the same from year to year. You may be trying different mixes. So we try our best to try to wade through that, and the selector tool can help with some of this too, I think.
Yeah. So have you seen examples of the soil drying out maybe a little faster, or the seed bed being a little better prepared when farmers use cover crops?
We had one farmer, I think he had Austrian winter pea and oilseed radish, and normally his planting tractor could handle conditions. He had to put duals on his planting tractor because the soil was so mellow, because the decomposing radish and that, you know, really mellowed up the surface soil so much that he had to add duals to the tractor, which made an ideal seed bed, no tilling right into that system. So it can really be to your advantage to get good seed soil contact for your corn crop.
Yeah, so the corn crop looked really good that year in,
oh, yeah.
in that field. So what are some other challenges that happen on the farm that farmers may use cover crops to overcome?
Of course, our soil types, again, in Ohio, compaction. We don't have forgiveness when you ruin the aggregate stability, when you're on there with heavy equipment, when the soils are too wet. You pay for years afterwards. So what do you do in the past? Well, steel. You go through there with all kind of different tillage tools, and you say, I'm breaking up this compaction layer, problem solved. Wait a minute. The next trip over, you're probably recompacting and putting that layer back into the soil and really not solving your compaction. Mm-hmm. We need to look at cover cropping systems that have the natural rooting ability to penetrate through, you know, annual ryegrass, radish. Any kind of cover crop is going to have the root strength to penetrate to some depth to overcome that compaction layer. Mm-hmm. And they're going to create these channels. You follow that with no-till. The channels remain in the soil. The following crop can follow the channels, the following earthworms. Even the next year's cover crop can follow the same channels. Eventually, they go deeper and deeper. And guess what? You've solved your compaction with a living, growing root system from your cover crops.
And saved on your diesel bill, right?
And you can sit in the house and watch it grow.
Yeah.
So there's ways to overcome these compaction issues. Just don't rush out and use more steel from a problem you started with steel that caused the problem. You're not going to solve it with more steel, usually.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I think, you know, with our water quality issues, Ohio's kind of under the gun with these things. We really need to look at cropping systems to protect the soil from erosion. We need to tie up our soluble phosphorus, and cover crops are the obvious choice, you know, to get us on a better path of water quality concerns.
Yeah.
So we need to really be aggressive on the farm and take this action to help solve that problem.
And that can also help farmers in terms of keeping nutrients in the field.
A living, growing root system, it's absorbing the excess nutrients, putting it into above ground plant material, decomposes. You create that cycle that stays on the field. It doesn't go out in the tile. It doesn't rush off the surface. That's what you want to have, right?
Well, thanks for your time today, Alan. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks for joining me on our Cover Crops for You, a podcast by the Midwest Cover Crops Council. I want to thank Alan for his time interviewing today. Alan has a lot of really great experience with those heavy clay soils in Ohio and how to help manage compaction. The selector tool that Alan briefly mentioned is the Midwest Cover Crops Council Cover Crops Selector Tool, available on our website. The selector tool helps farmers and professionals choose cover crops based on their seeding window, which is specific to their county and 30 years of climate data, as well as the goals they have for their cover crop. Check it out on our website, mccc.msu.edu. You can find the selector tool in the top menu on our homepage. Thanks again for listening.